17. New coach Jeff Tedford will introduce his offensive and defensive coordinators. You're going to hear from the head coach and both coordinators here over the next few minutes. Coach Tedford is in the room here at the Josephine Theater of Fresno State, where all his weekly news conferences will be held during the season. It's been a bit of a whirlwind for him, assembling staff, working on recruiting, developing new catchphrases. And I'm sure we'll hear from the coach about that. He's walking to the podium with his Fresno State windbreaker on a rainy day in Fresno. White windbreaker with a nice Bulldog logo right on the front. I guess he's a dog-wired dude. That's what it looks like. Here's the coach of your Bulldog, Jeff Tedford.
We'll let Coach Tedford open up with an opening statement on his new staff here. Go forward, Coach.
Okay, nice to see you all. It's been a really exciting time. Obviously, through this last month has been pretty fast and furious. The first thing was to hire a staff, and I feel really, really good about the staff we've been able to assemble. This is our first week that everyone's been in-house, and I think they all bring something very special to the table. And so our main function here this week as we first got together has been mainly about recruiting, about getting organized recruiting. We had one weekend where we had kind of a skeleton crew here. All the staff wasn't hired. That weekend was mostly junior college recruits. And now we kind of turn our attention to a little bit more of a mixture of high school and junior college kids as we close out the recruiting season. Dead period ends this Thursday on the 12th. And so we will all hit the road and get out there and make sure that we're not only actively recruiting the guys for 2017, but we have a good feel for the guys for 2018. As we mentioned before, our main focus is going to be to make sure that we saturate the Valley and do our best to keep all the Valley kids close to home. And so we're going to be really making an emphasis on that, of getting out in those schools and cultivating the relationships, whether they have prospects or whether they don't, because I think it's really important that that they understand that the communication lines are open and that they have a place where they can come and talk ball, and that the kids throughout the Valley understand what Fresno State's all about and have a passion for Fresno State and what's going on in the Valley. Having our staff put together, I thought it was really important to make sure that we had some Bulldog blood here, of people who have played here before. So we have three guys on our staff, be it J.D. Williams, Scott Thompson, and Jamie Christian. And they all bring some special things to the table. Not only are they great coaches, they're great people, obviously very experienced recruiting, but understand the value of and the pride and tradition of Fresno State football and what it takes to create that. And so really happy about those guys being on the staff. I won't go through each staff member. I will talk about the coordinators, because two of them are here today. Kalen DeBora, offensive coordinator, who came from Eastern Michigan. I had not known Kalen before, but through this process, I felt like it was really important to do my research around the country on who had turned their programs around, who have had success, who has the same type of philosophy that I have had in the past on what we need to do offensively. And I feel like we found a great match. Kalen was a three-time national championship at Sioux Falls, three-time national coach of the year with a record of 67-3, which is phenomenal. And brought that same success to Eastern Michigan, which was a program that was building. And for them to go to a bowl game this year, I thought they really accomplished a lot. And so that's really what caught my eye, was the turnaround at Eastern Michigan and the people behind that. And, but in talking to Kalen over the phone, felt like our philosophies really matched, of being diverse, being able to run the football, being physical. 1 year, I think they led the league in rushing, and the next year they led the league in passing, so if I'm not mistaken. So they're able to be diverse and really kind of do what your personnel allows you to do and be able to adapt. So he will have a chance to talk with you here in a few minutes, and you'll be able to ask him some questions. Our defensive coordinator, Orlando Steinhauer, came from Canada in the CFL. He's originally from the state of Washington around the Seattle area. Went to Western Washington University, played, had a great career as a player, and has been one of the top coordinators in the CFL for many years. I always said, and I knew every time we had to play them, or at least last when I was in the CFL last, and having to prepare to play Hamilton, it was a nightmare. Very aggressive defense, really very multiple, gets after you in many, many different ways. Really turned the ball over a lot. I want to say they had like 93 turnovers in 2 years. He can be, is that right, Orlando? Something like that, to be exact. But very aggressive and great person. And I want to reiterate that these guys just aren't great football coaches. Okay, they're great people. And they're going to represent this university. They're going to be great with the kids. They're going to be able to create an environment for these guys to reach their full potential academically, athletically, socially, spiritually. They all get it. They're all great family men, and I think they're going to represent the university well. They're going to represent our football program well, and they're going to be here for the kids' full development. So really excited about the entire staff and what the next 3 weeks looks like is we have a big recruiting weekend this weekend. We have about 15 kids coming in and their families, and so that will be a major weekend for us. We have 3 weekends left this weekend, then it's the 20th, and then I believe the 27th or something like that, the next 3 weekends. And so we're looking forward to that, not just the coaching staff, but our recruiting department with Spencer Harris has really done a great job in, you know, we're kind of up against it here when you haven't been doing this together for a long time. He has been really instrumental in really putting together the list and getting everybody directed on what's going on. So people behind the scenes are just as important. One of the other guys that we just hired the other day is Andy Ward, our strength and conditioning coach from Stanford, who I've always really been impressed with the development of the Stanford players. And so we're able to hire him this week. And so really anxious to get him involved in our players and move forward in that direction as well. Obviously, recruiting is number one at this time. And then on the 17th, we start back to school. And then as we balance recruiting, it's also going to be getting to know our players. And we have a team meeting at 9 a.m. on the 17th. That we're looking forward to getting in a room and having our players meet the coaches. They've all been on the phone with all their players, so they've done that, introduced themselves that way. But now it's going to be about creating the relationships and building the trust and confidence that's necessary for our future. So really with that, I'll open it up to questions. Well, I think the knowledge that everyone has, what we've really had to do, that we've tried to do over this last week was really educate people to Fresno State. A lot of people understand the tradition of Fresno State. People like Tony Tuiati, who coached at Hawaii, who has a great passion or a great understanding or respect for Fresno State. But what's great about these guys is they're all experienced. They're all great recruiters. And one of the things I think that's really important is being a great evaluator. I think they're great evaluators. I think they're all master teachers. I think they're experts in their field. But I think they're all positive. And they're going to be positive. They're going to be demanding as well. And so I think they bring all those characteristics as coaches here. What I'm excited about also is people with their background of recruiting. You take Scott Thompson, who has been in the USC recruiting department for whatever it's been, the last 6-8 years or whatever it's been. Okay, so his connections throughout that program. Tony being at Michigan, running their recruiting department. And so he has his connections. And so there's a lot of information and a lot of knowledge in that room that we have. And I've been really impressed with, because these guys are all such good guys and they're not ego guys whatsoever. We understand that we're in this as a group. This is a team effort. And it doesn't matter who recruits them. We're recruiting them as a staff. And I think all of those guys have really displayed that they have those characteristics over this last 2 weeks that I've got to know them. Well, and that's interesting. You know, we spent this week at the beginning of of last week kind of going over our philosophy, and came up with dog wired dudes. You know, guys that are wired the way that we want them to be wired, and that's guys that are leaders, guys that are good guys off the field, guys that are hard workers, guys that are tough, great character kids, do well in the classroom. All those type of things, you know, and so we have to do our research with those guys to make sure that they're the right fit for Fresno State. And so we spent last week really talking about the philosophy of who we're looking for and what the Fresno State guys look like. And so we spent a couple days on that, and I thought that was very beneficial. Right. Well, I felt with Orlando, I felt like I knew him well without knowing him personally, if that makes sense. Because preparing to play against him, I know what went into that. But then in doing some research behind the scenes, the general manager, Eric Tillman there, relied on his input a lot. A lot of people, that's a small league, and it's really a fraternity up there. And so he was very well respected, not just as a football coach, but as a person. People who had been there to watch him practice, on how he motivated players, how he made it fun for the players, how they played with great intensity and passion. All those things don't happen by accident. And so research behind the scenes on the phone, and then spent a long time on the phone with him, just talking about if this was the right fit for him professionally, because he was really at a stage up there where his next step would have been a head coach in the CFL. And that's how well-respected he is up there. And so spent a lot of time talking with him and then people who knew him. Because I know the X and O part. I know what that looked like. But as far as how he teaches, what his meetings look like, how he relates to the players, those type of things, the energy, the motivation he brings every day, it was a slam dunk once I got a chance to talk with those people. And then the same thing with Kalen was talking to people. Looking at his past, you know, when you look at some of these stats that he's had, it's not by mistake that you go 67-3, and you're three-time national champions, and I don't care what league you're in or anything like that. There's something behind that, and his head coach at Eastern Michigan had nothing but great things to say about him, and you know sometimes that's a little kind of a catch-22. Because the head coach doesn't want to lose him, but also knows that if Kalen wants to do something to further his career and his professional development, and just had great things to say about him. So I watched a lot of games, and then again on the telephone, being able to talk to him, I really figured out that our philosophies are very similar, and watching the tape, I felt like they were very similar, and then brought him out here to have an interview and. It was a short one because we were all in transition. He was on his way to a you know, I'll toss things in there from time to time about things, but we'll have great communication, and we'll work it out that way. Well, it's important to get Valley guys just because that's what Fresno State, the Fresno State and the pride and tradition that I know is about Valley guys. It's about the toughness that it brings here. It's about the passion of staying home, playing in front of your family, getting a great education, those type of things. And I think there is, you know, I think when you start expanding your recruiting base too wide, the passion and the tradition that goes on at Fresno is kind of lost a little bit. You know, so to keep it in California, but really to make sure that people are growing up with Fresno State football. I think that's important. Not just the kids for 2017 or 2018. It's the kids for the future. And so to get in and build relationships with those coaches is critical. I will be doing that this Thursday. I will be out in the Valley all over, and our coaches will as well. And then we'll be able to hit it again in the spring. But we want to make sure that they understand it's an open door here, and that we build this place back to what it was, and having the stadium full and full of energy and passion, and make it the toughest place in the conference to come play. That doesn't really matter. I mean, in my mind, it really doesn't. We're recruiting kids that are good fits for our program. You know, I see that we can compete against some Power 5 schools. I don't think there's any doubt about that, because I think Fresno's a special place. And I think people can come here and get a great education, reach your full potential as young men and football players. And, you know, so I'm really not caught up on that, you know, to tell you the truth. You know, it we'll play big-time football. We have a great schedule and, you know, and build a great environment that they can play in front of and have their family be a part of their college experience. So Power 5, non-Power 5, to me, is really not that big of a deal when it comes to recruiting. Well, because I think the same attributes are everywhere. When you have success, football is a hard thing. It's about motivating kids. It's about being sound fundamentally and technically. And it's hard to win football games. If everything's relative, okay, it's hard to be successful all the time. And I don't care if you're in the Pac-12 or you're in the Mountain West. When you go on a run like 67-3, that's a pretty special accomplishment. I don't care what level it's at because it's all relative. And you're competing against the same people, you know, along your conference or whatever it may be. So I think there's just things behind the scenes that are critical to success. And I don't care if you take a high school program. A high school program, I'll just throw out De La Salle because I think they're one of the storied programs in the nation. Okay? It doesn't happen by accident that they have the great record that they have. Right? So you know, I think when coaches are able to accomplish those type of things, there's a lot that goes into it. It goes into evaluating the right kids, creating the right environment daily, making sure that you're motivating kids, making sure that you work through adversity. All that stuff is what's consistent in football, whether it's high school football, Division I, Division II, pro football. It's all the same, in my opinion. Expectation is day to day. You know, I mean, we expect to have high standards here and to make sure that we live by those and to reach our full potential. You know, I'm not going to talk about wins and losses or anything like that. We're going to play hard. We're going to have a tough football team. We're going to play snap the whistle. We're going to attack the football and create turnovers, and we're going to have ball security. and we're going to play together as a family and a unit, and we're going to play exciting football. We're going to fly around. We're going to have fun. And we need the fans for that. You know, if we're gonna make this the place that it's really traditionally known to be, the fans are a major part of it. Because this is I think if you ask people around the country, if they had to come in to Fresno State and play here, that it's a tough place to play. People aren't looking forward to that. And we want to make sure it gets back to that, that when they come here, win or lose, they know that they've been in a fight. And that we're going to play physical football, we're going to compete, snap the whistle for as long as it takes to win. And that's the mindset that we're going to set. It's a process to get that done, for sure. It's not going to happen overnight, but we're going to start as soon as they get back on January 17th with that process.
You addressed how you guys will handle play calling and collaborating there, but I'm sure the question the fans are going to have for you in the next 8 months is, who's your quarterback? So how will you and Kalen make that decision, and is there a number one characteristic that you're looking at that's going to separate one guy from the rest?
Well, that's a process as well. I mean, we'll know who the starting quarterback is by game one, for sure, hopefully, you know, but they have to be battle tested. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it. You know, my five criteria really for quarterbacks are mental and physical toughness, number one. They have to be mentally tough. They have to be physically tough to lead the team. Intelligence is big on what we can ask them to handle, because I think their job is not just their position, to put everyone else in position to be successful. Competitiveness is the third thing, that they're able, you know, they want the ball in their hand when it's a two-minute drill, and they're going to compete on and off the football field. They're going to be great leaders, and people can look up to them. And then the next two kind of go, you know, you can flip them around, and that's some kind of athletic ability slash escape dimension and arm and throwing ability, you know. But all those things really go into it. But we don't know any of that yet. You know, we watch tape, but I can't say we know these guys well enough to put a tag on somebody like that. Yeah, it's going to be an open competition, and then we'll see what happens. You know, so obviously we won't know the true freshman coming in until August if they're in the mix to be the starting quarterback, because we just don't know enough about them. But it's going to be competitive, and they're going to be held to a high standard. And their job, like I said, is not just to be a good quarterback, to put everybody in position to be successful around them.
All right, well, thank you, Coach Tedford.
All right.
That will bring up offensive coordinator.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys coming out.
Begins March 27th. That's a Monday. That'll be their first practice. The spring game, mark it on your calendar. April 29th to get your first taste of Jeff Tedford's Grand Bulldog football. His offensive coordinator is Kalen DeBoer. Came over from Eastern Division.
We'll go straight to questions with Kalen. What made you want to come here to Fresno?
Great question to start off. First of all, it is great to be here, and thanks for all attending. The tradition, and just that championship culture that exists here is something that I'm certainly aware of. I think it's known across the country. And I've seen what that picture looks like, and it's a lot of fun to be a part of, especially when I was at the University of Sioux Falls as a head coach and part of that program. But the culture that exists when you're at a championship level, it's fun to be a part of. And restoring the tradition here, again, I know what that picture looks like. But also, ironically, I've come from a program where I've had to, you know, go from 1-11 to the point to where we had a bowl game this last year. So I'm excited to, you know, build it from the ground up, you know, starting this year. And Coach Tedford, I share the the common traits, I think, in building that program. So I'm looking forward to it.
How do you go 67-3? When you look back.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so that's where this is going to come in. It's about the coaches. It's about the people. And we've got great coaches here. And, you know, the one thing that helped me decide on this job was not just Coach Tedford, but seeing that there were three alumni that were coming back to this program to be a part of it and the excitement they had. And not even knowing them, I met Coach Christian, you know, on my visit here. But not even knowing them, I realized that, you know, this is a special place, and Coach Tedford is a special coach. And their excitement to come here showed me that that things were heading the right direction.
Who has questions back here?
Hey, Coach. Coach, pretty early. You come in
Yeah. Yeah. You bet. Yeah, we got a system that will run, and I think every place you go, you kind of have the little tweaks and the things other people bring to it to make it even better. I'm excited to, you know, sit around the table with our staff, with Coach Tedford, and just, you know, figure out exactly who we are. We've had a chance to look at our personnel. And number one, that's what my offenses have been in the past. They've been personnel-driven, anywhere from, you know, strength of having multiple running backs on the football field at the same time, to your strength being multiple tight ends or multiple receivers. We'll figure out what we have here within our program, and our system is flexible enough to be able to fit those people. And so we're very diverse. We'll have our base offense. It'll start with a downhill run game, you know, zone, power, counter. But then as we go through it, as we go through it, we'll have the system will hopefully by week 3, 4, 5, and 6, when you face opponents, it'll look complex, you know, because they'll have a lot of different things on film. But for us, it's something that's actually pretty simple to install, simple for our guys to understand, and allow them to play fast each and every week. Right. Yeah. No, I think there's a stop along the way that was really critical, and that's at Southern Illinois, playing the Missouri Valley Conference, which is really the best conference. You know, at the time it was. I mean, multiple national championships. I think the last 7 years, the national champion, one of the teams in the national championship has come from that conference. And playing at that in that conference and that level of football, really the difference from level to level isn't about the X's and O's, and like Coach said, it's a, you know, the motivating the players and all that's the same. Really, the difference is just managing staff, and you know, the recruiting areas that you work to, and you know, whether it's nationwide or you know the regions you work in. Really, that's the biggest difference. You know, when I was at Sioux Falls, we were recruiting mainly, you know, the Midwest. We'd get some transfers from out here, you know, out in the West. You know, the JC guys, and then. At Southern Illinois, we're more of the Midwest to maybe Southeast, and then the transfers from, you know, the different junior colleges, different regions. And at Eastern Michigan, we were more, you know, up there in the Midwest, the Northern Midwest. But, you know, I've spent a lot of time out here recruiting the junior college transfers along with Ryan Grubb, our offensive line coach. So, really, I think it's mainly the management of the staff and, you know, a lot of it's that, you know, you have a vision and you got to sell the vision to the players, you know, getting that buy-in. It's all football. It's what it's all about. It's the same at every place I've been.
You mentioned it right now. I just recently did a story on Josh Allen and read that Michigan was one of the two schools that
yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Josh is a great player. Yeah, and we were very excited about him at the time and pushing hard, you know, to try to get him. I think we were actually his first offer, found him out here. Ryan Grubb, again, was a very, you know, had a lot of influence in that. And we've had to play against him. Actually, we've played Wyoming the last 2 years when we were at Eastern, 2-0 against him. But a very good football player. Certainly know who he is.
How important was it to have Coach Grubb here with you because you were hired after a couple of position coaches?
Right. We coached together for 3 years at Sioux Falls. The thing about Ryan is he understands the big picture. He's technically just a great teacher when it comes to the offensive line position. He just eats, sleeps, and breathes, you know, how to make his offensive line technically better. He loves bringing a group, and that's the group that has to just be the closest knit. He knows how to do that, just has a great relationship with his players. And I knew that from those years. And when I had a chance to go to Eastern Michigan, I knew I had to have Ryan at that point come with me because we share, you know, not just the same philosophy and ideas, but there's just a chemistry between us and how we coach. We can be, you know, he challenges me the right way because I think that's important as a in any profession to be challenged, you know, to be able to push yourself. And he does that the right way. I challenge him and push him. And, you know, that's a great working relationship we have. And so, He knows what we're trying to become, and then in the end, he also has been an offensive coordinator, you know, for 4 years. And so he gets the big picture. He understands how the offensive line play and that protection fits what we want to do in the passing game, you know, and there's a lot more things with that. But he's very knowledgeable in a lot of different ways. What?
Wikipedia doesn't know.
It doesn't? I'm 42.
Is there someone throughout your career who's had maybe the biggest impact on you as a coach, whether from an inspirational standpoint, an understanding perspective, or somebody who's just maybe had that biggest impact?
Right. I think the biggest impact comes probably from my college coach. His name was Bob Young. And I think In this, coaching football is a lifestyle. It's not just something you do. It's who you are. And I think he really taught me that and made my days as a player so enjoyable. And again, we were part of a culture that exists here at Fresno State. You know, it was a championship culture. But he made it a great time. And, he really made it to something where, you know, that bond you had with your teammates. And that just doesn't happen. There's got to be someone kind of pushing you in that direction and giving you the format and the opportunity to build relationships where the guy, you know, that's next to you is the best man in your wedding and all that kind of stuff. But he really is the one that gave me the love and passion to help others experience what I experienced as a player myself. And then I think there's obviously, you know, people you come across along the way, you know, when you talk about the X's and O's and how to, how you want your offense to look when it gets on the field and how to get there, you know, whether it's your practice system, whatever it might be. There's a lot of great people that have been a part of that along the way. Coach Creighton at Eastern Michigan, you know, he was an offensive-minded. He called plays for, I think, 17 years as the head coach / offensive coordinator, and he had a huge impact. He challenged me in a lot of ways, and so, you know, I'm really appreciative of what he did for me. He turned the reins over, which I think is a hard thing to do. You know, you ask Coach Tedford the same question. I think it's a hard thing to do when you've done it for so long, and that's what you know. And Coach Creighton did the same thing for me there. And, but he also challenged in a lot of ways that made me grow as a football coach. Yeah, it didn't have to be a package deal. There's other great offensive line coaches that I know just haven't worked with as long, you know, or at all. But I didn't even know that the offensive line position was not hired yet until deep into our conversation the first time we talked, you know. So, and then I just brought it up, and, then it kind of went from there. Yeah, that's good. That's good. We're still working on that thing. It's just more of the passion, the drive that you have to be great. I think that's really probably the characteristics you have personally, you know. And then there's also the physical attributes and how you play on the football field. You know, Coach talked about snap to whistle, you know, those type of things. We just want guys that, you know, when you walk off the football field after playing us, you just know that you saw the toughest guys that you're going to see all season. And watching film, you know you're in for a battle when it comes to that Saturday. I think that's really what Dogwire does, where it starts.
Coach, you're going to be joining a 1-11 team. It's a challenge, obviously, but
right.
Does that entice you to join this program?
Yeah, and I just, like I said, I mean, it gives me confidence knowing what we have just done the last 2 to 3 years. And it doesn't happen overnight. But also I do understand that there's a culture that exists that has set, like I said before, there's some great resources. There's a lot of players in this area geographically that can come in and help us out, and are excited about, you know, doing the same thing I'm doing and coming to this, just this tradition rich program. So, it is enticing. It is a challenge, but, you know, we'll get there. I'm confident in that. I saw it took place over the last really 24 to 36 months at the last place I was at.
You guys are going to Laramie in the fall, so that one's on you, right?
Right, right.
Against Craig Ball at SIU too.
Yeah. I've seen him 6 out of the last 7 years. So when I was at Southern Illinois playing NDSU, so great staff, great football coach as well, great program.
much as people want to make it out to be?
Oh, there's definitely a big difference in between, you know, 12 and 11-man football, but I think the key word is football. And between the whistles, it's just football, right? So we're going to take the ball away. You know, we're trying to prevent people from scoring, trying to score. So, again, between the whistles, it's football. Schematically, things change a little bit between 12 and 11-man football. But, again, I'll just come back to it. It's all football.
Coach Tepper said one of the reasons he wanted to hire you is because he remembers how much trouble you gave his offenses there in the CFL. What do you remember about preparing to face one of the teams that he was coaching?
Well, I think the number one thing that always stands out in my mind is he brought the tight end, in my opinion, back up to the CFL, which had been absent. He brought a big body type that was really a tight end body up there, and posed some different challenges in the run game and in the pass game and things like that, whereas in Canada previous to that, there was tight ends involved, but more in a fullback body type per se. So, yeah, he presented some different challenges, and I think that's the main one that sticks out in my mind.
And he said, you know, you were really on a path to become a head coach in the CFL. Mm-hmm. So that must have been a difficult decision for you to decide whether I'm staying up there or coming here to the States. Why did you decide to come here and join Fresno State?
Well, as Coach Tedford alluded to, there was, you know, some lengthy interview processes on the phone and things like that. And as I talked to Coach longer and more extensively, what became evident to me is he had a really clear vision, and that was refreshing to me. And I had, you know, things had gone really well up in Canada, and things were progressing fast, and this was just something that was unplanned, obviously, and it was a dot on my timeline that I think that I really needed to explore. So the decision wasn't that tough once I was able to have longer conversations, once I come down and met with him in person and really understood. And he has, in my opinion, a really unique way of establishing his vision without giving you a flow chart and telling you A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, as, you know, in his hiring of J.D. Williams and Burt Watts and Tony on our side of the ball. Even though I didn't know these guys, once I got to meet them, it just solidified to me that I had made the right choice.
I'll ask you the same thing. What's a dog wire dude, Coach?
A dog wire dude, to me, is what we are establishing as a staff. We are, again, whether it's toughness, whatever criteria that we are setting forth, those are the types of players that we're going to get. Whether it's a little bit of intelligence, whether it's a lot of toughness, whether it's recruiting the Valley, those criteria that Coach Tedford set forth along with the rest of the staff, they got to check those boxes. And as they check those boxes, they become a dog wire dude, and those are the types of people we want in this program.
I mean, I get you're going to wait until you see what kind of players you have on the field to decide what the defense is going to look like.
Mm-hmm. More exotic. I can tell you this, that we will be multiple. That's kind of a word that's being thrown around. But I think we can hear a common denominator here. And when you hear Kalen speak and when you hear Coach Tedford speak, is I'm the same type of coach. And so we're still evaluating and seeing where we're at, what recruits we're going to end up with. And I think part of the benefit of being multiple is that if you don't get a recruit or you get an injury, you're able to adapt. And I think you heard Kalen mention that when he spoke to you guys earlier, that we will be multiple. We'll be able to go 3-4. We'll be able to go 4 down. We'll be able to go 5 down. I think the biggest thing is that in being multiple, it's being able to adapt in-game and obviously here in the offseason. So whatever players we end up with, we'll be able to morph that defense to give us the best chance to win. And I think football in general likes to divide. What are we going to do schematically, special teams, offense, defense? When at the end of the day, it's about what can we get accomplished as a team to win football games. So whatever's going to give us the best chance to win a football game, if that's a 3-4 that week, we'll run it. If it's a 4-3, that's what we'll do. And we'll have a collective plan to play complementary football. And, you know, the ultimate goal is to win games. This isn't my defense. This will be our defense and one that Fresno will be proud of. Nope, he's present. Coach Tedford did it. So, So he's done it, and I've watched him do it. And we had some talks about that on the phone. Obviously, Mark Trestman was able to make that transition and things like that. So I'm definitely not the first. You know, there's, you know, Mike Riley and some other players that were able to do that in the past. But there's not a long list of them. But that, again, it's really not a concern of mine. I'm just excited to be here, excited to be part of this culture, excited to implement what I would call a subculture on defense and make a collective effort with the offense and special teams. That is nice. And there's a little less motion, a little more shifting, but a lot less motion. Definitely appreciative of the smaller end zones.
And you and Kalen both use that word, adapt, making sure that your scheme fits your personnel. What about, are you willing to adapt to the point of you guys look at the players you inherit, and maybe there's a guy who's been on offense for 2-3 years and you want him on your side of the ball or vice versa? Is that a possibility?
That's probably a question for the big whistle. Right? Like, you know, we always have those, we have those open discussions, absolutely. But, you know, ultimately, you know, like I said, the goal is to win. We're gonna move players around. We're going to see what they have. Ultimately, it's going to be exciting to get them out there in spring. The sample piece we have right now is just what they have. We're gathering information from other people that have been here. But I think that is an open thing, but definitely a question more for Coach Tedford. Well, I think it's been alluded to by both coaches already, and that is coach is our title, but there's so many other things. I think you heard Coach Tedford allude to the word motivating. You got to sell, right? You're selling, you're motivating, you're mentoring kids. You have to be able to teach. So coach is the title, but you have to be able to do all that. And I think amongst all that, you start to mold a culture a little bit. And that's really where it starts. It starts when we got, you know, in recruiting right now. It starts in our team meetings. It starts in our bond as a staff daily. And I don't think we all know the end goal, but I think what's really fun about being part of this staff so far is we're not end watching. You didn't hear Coach talk about wins and losses. You hear him focus on the process. And that's really where it starts. Your direct quest, to answer you directly, you said, how do we get address a 1-11 team, I think that's how you do it. It's the process, it's the culture that you build along the way.
I'll go Nick King here. When you're in Canada coaching, how much do you pay attention the last couple of years to college football, NFL down here?
Yeah, so quite a bit. You know, the unique thing about Canada is you could play on any night of the week, so you can. It's not a set schedule all the time. I don't have a percentage, but I'm aware of who the top teams in the country and who's winning the Super Bowl. And I'm not that far. I'm not at the North Pole, but we're able to get some feed. So I do follow it and understand it, and I have a lot of connections, right? You know, being from Seattle. And those sorts of things, you have, you know, coaching's pretty much a fraternity, and so you have other coaches all across the country that you're obviously watching their teams.
This might be silly, but from an aesthetic standpoint, what do you like watching better, or 12-man or 11-man?
What do I like watching better? I don't know if I have an answer. I have to straddle the fence. I think here's how I would equate it, honestly. If there was a game being played over here and you call it X, and a game being played over here and you called it Y, and the CFL was over here, and you know, I think to play the game, sometimes the CFL in aspects is more fun. What does fun mean? It's just more moving parts, you know, it's in those sorts of things. But I grew up playing 11-man football, and it was equally as fun, right? It's just I've been experienced for the last 15 years to a different game. So I don't know whether I enjoy one more than the other. It's just, again, it's football. But if there was two games being played, I think the CFL is pretty interesting.
College basketball really transformed the last 10-15 years with a lot of Canadian
Mm-hmm.
Big time player.
Yeah.
Number one draft pick. How about in football? Is there the potential that because of your experience up there that you might have a lead on some recruits that wouldn't be coming to the States otherwise or could end up in Bulldog uniform?
Perhaps. No, I'm kidding. Like, we definitely we have some connections up there of you know, there's some prep schools and some things and a pipeline that's pretty direct that we can obviously tap into some of those resources. And we'll just see how that plays out. There's a lot of good players in Canada. I think what's I guess just really not known is that there's a lot of U.S. schools that scholarship Canadian athletes and that they never make it back up to the CFL. I think a misconception is that the Canadian league is just full of that. I mean, there's first round picks, second round picks that go every year that are Canadians that just don't get that publicity as such. So there's a lot of good football players. And so hopefully we can tap into some of those resources. Sure. Not directly, but Johnny, I'll tell you what, he's a dog-wired dude. Like, that guy loves to play football. I can remember him playing with a broken arm for about two series because he didn't want to tell anybody, you know, and totally true statement. Johnny Sears is a warrior. We get a bunch of him, I'll tell you what, we're getting ourselves the best odds to win, so... Johnny's, you know, I acquired him in free. You talk about recruiting. He was a guy that I identified in free agency that was a must-have. And so even though it's not directly called recruiting when you're acquiring free agents and things, you're definitely doing those sorts of things and selling your program and talking to different people. But anybody who knows Johnny Sears or watches him play knows that he would fit in our program perfectly. Well, I think the difference is I was going into the unknown, where at least, you know, now I've this is where the football that I knew growing up, right? So I think I don't see it as a challenge really at all. I mean, when you surround all you have to do is sit down with our staff and just know that the X's and O's are going to take care of themselves. Building this culture, selling the program, getting the right people in here, reselling another product to the returning players is going to be what's most important. The X's and O's, I believe, will be solved in that area. It's the other intangibles that I think we need to focus on right now.
There's no more questions for Coach. We'll let him go at this time.
Thank you.